The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
So, why don't you tell us who you've bought us this month?
Well, gone a bit scary this month.
Have you?
Yeah.
She doesn't look scary.
She's not scary at all. I've brought Kathy Bear with me. Now, Kathy is, she does a role that I think is really interesting for so many businesses, but so many businesses, I think it's not for them, don't think they can afford it, think they're not big enough, think whatever they think. So Kathy is a NED, a non-executive director, working with a number of companies, including us at Rift. So I've actually brought someone from the board with me, so be nice to me.
Right. You should have told us this beforehand, because we did a big number about how you're always late, you're always, we can never rely on you.
Absolutely.
We didn't realise she was...
She knows all that.
We didn't realise she was boss material.
We met earlier.
We've already had a coffee today. And I think it's interesting because it's something that sort of on a bit more of an ad hoc basis we do within Rift Accounting with clients. You know, when we've got clients that have got all sorts of things going on, they might just ring me up, we'll have a chat. And then we do have it as a little bit more of a formal arrangement with some of them, whereas Kathy's role is looking at all sorts of elements of business. And I think it's good to understand what a NED, if you want to call it, because that is what you're called, isn't it? You non-executive directors is your real titles, but you're NEDs, aren't you?
It is, but in a way, I want to talk about it in such a way that it makes it relatable.
Yeah.
And really, it's whatever shape you want that to be for your business and for you and your team.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, absolutely. It's a fascinating. We were talking about this the other day, actually, about mentorship and getting an outside view on things. And a non-executive director is a formalised approach at that, really. Kathy, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us. Why don't you start off by telling us a little bit about your background?
Sure.
Yeah, so that we can get a feel for that. And then we'll talk about your role as a non-executive director.
Well, my background is as an accountant. And I found that quite boring.
We agree on that, don't we, Kathy?
There's only one thing more boring than accountants, that's actuaries.
So funny, but actually that's true. And so what I really found was it was just getting stuck into business and actually making it all tick. How does this work? Being curious, trying to solve problems and bring it alive. So of course, once you are an accountant, you've got that as a background. It's your backbone, or whatever you want to call it. But actually moving on and relating it, engineers must feel the same way. It's how do things work, and then you can apply it. So I suppose my background was that I came to Kent 20 years ago. I joined Holiday Extras when it was, you know, a relatively small business, turning over about 40 million. Had the benefit of very early on, as that business grew and grew, bringing non-execs into our board. So Jerry Pack was always very forward-thinking in that respect. And so I was there working with these amazing people with all this experience. You know, again, it's the same. It's really important that the person you choose to work with is someone that you get on with. You can pick the phone up when it's going really well, share that exciting moment. And then I think I've probably got an embarrassing story to tell, but, you know, you also need to be able to pick the phone up when you've got a real problem. And actually, you know, that's the person that they're at the other end of the phone that you don't. Yeah, just going to say, here's how it is. This is what I think is happening. What would you do? You know, have you had this experience before?
Okay, so let's explore this, because as Nettie said in the introduction, a lot of people don't actually understand exactly what a non-executive director is. So let's start with the boring bits first. What's the legal standing of a non-executive director?
Okay, so if you're a formal director on a company, it's the same as any other director, but actually it's the oversight. So you're not day-to-day, you don't know what's happening on a day-to-day basis, so you need to use your governance skills, your general business understanding to get an assessment of how well the others are actually working the business. So I think that's the important piece, if your name is above the door. I work with a lot of businesses where I'm not listed as a director at Companies House, and then you have to be quite careful that actually you're not what they call a shadow director. So e.g. you've got the responsibilities but not the information. So, that just comes down to experience and people. I work with people.
Because there's been some changes in company law just in the last couple of years where you now have to list the people of influence in a company, which is some kind of thing that they invented to try and catch people out.
There's some things we do need to know, though.
Yeah, for sure. So, as you say, even if you're not listed as a director, if you have influence in a business, you could fall under that kind of heading. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. So, you're not involved in the day-to-day operation of the business. You're there in what I would call a kind of mentoring and information role. Yeah, is that fair?
Yeah. Shall I give you a few headings? And yeah. Actually, I think it's the stories around the headings that matter more. It's working with the CEO. It can be a lonely role. Actually, the people I work with don't find it lonely because they know how to reach out to their networks and talk to other people. So, for example, you're working with them and their team. So the management team, you know, it's really important. And that's how actually you get a better feel for what's actually happening on a day-to-day basis is by talking to more and more of the team. Sometimes you're helping to spread the story, helping to get the message across, having an idea sometimes. Acting as an interpreter. Different people, different personalities say things in different ways, right. And someone will get it differently from someone else. Mm. So I think, you know, that's important. So that's the team. Strategic input, which, you know, the plan you talk about not having or having, I know you've got one in your head, so it's whether you've got it. What size your business is depends on, you know, what shape that plan needs to take. Supporting quality decision making. I think sometimes, you know, it's creating and helping a safe place where everybody's views can be brought forward. So it's amazing. I mean, not necessarily the businesses I work with, but I've been around the table where people are a little concerned at saying what they think. You know, actually, do I need to say what wants to be heard, or do I need to say what I think? You need to say what you think, even if it's daft, because you're thinking it and we can help you with that thought. Mm-hmm. So I'm always very keen on trying to bring out, you know, everybody's view.
It's that's an important point, isn't it? Because I've seen far too many organisations that claim that they want to know what's going on but don't like it when you tell them. That can be limiting because you don't hear what you need to hear. But obviously, you've also got to be careful because people close to a business can be negative about it without really having reason to be negative, if you see what I mean. So it's that delicate balance, isn't it, between hearing what you need to hear and not being swayed by stuff that's just silly.
And getting everyone's perspective doesn't mean you're trying to find out the negative either, does it? You really want everyone's opinion so you can work on that, makes it rich. So helping, and also sometimes helping to make that decision. So what we're talking about here is, and well, what's stopping us making that decision? So, you know, that sort of conversation. So it's very, you know, straightforward. Working to help address problems early. So sometimes actually the outside eye, like myself, fresh eyes will say, oh, what about and how come and why? And sometimes you listen to the answer and think, okay, didn't know that or whatever, that's great. But actually sometimes it causes the, oh, yeah, that's something we hadn't thought of because you're so close to it.
I mean, would it be true? I mean, do you have a number of non-executive roles with different organisations? Mm. So that would strike me as being a massive benefit. apart from a benefit to you. Yeah.
I didn't mean it like that. But they're all different and it's different people.
Yeah, but one of the things about having someone that has that breadth of exposure to other things is you can bring that in, yeah, because you may have faced similar type of things in another organisation and know how they solved the problem or removed the obstacle or whatever it is. You're gathering sponge-like information from different places.
Absolutely, and sometimes I'm listening to let's call it an issue or whatever, and I'm thinking I haven't got a clue, and I'll be chatting to somebody else confidentially. You know, this is what's happening. Have you encountered this circumstance?
Yeah.
I've got the time, which is fantastic. So,
yeah.
Sometimes you're just walking away with it yourself and thinking, okay, well, how do we deal with this?
Yeah, it must be an interesting thing to do in the world of work as well as work. So, as a non-executive director, what's your commitment to it? You know, how does that work? You know, because you're not involved in the day-to-day business. It strikes me, I'm a trustee of a couple of charities, for instance, and I think that's a fairly similar kind of role, where we meet once every 3 months and discuss what's going on with that particular charity. We're not involved with the day-to-day running, but we take a kind of helicopter view of or an umbrella view of the whole thing. Is that a similar kind of role for an NED?
It is, and it's different for each person, and I think that's probably why I wanted to speak about it today because I think it's saying to businesses, whatever your size is, obviously I'm promoting the concept rather than myself because it's important about the chemistry, but you know, ensure you have somebody. So mine will be some person, people will call me. Sometimes I'm in the email dialogue on a certain subject. There's regular meetings. Sometimes it's a monthly board meeting. Sometimes it's quarterly. Mm. And it just varies.
Mm. It's interesting, isn't it? If you look at the role that you have and things like mentors and personal coaches, a lot of people shy away from that because they feel it smacks of them not being able to do something. Mm. Yeah. Which, of course, is true because most of us can't do everything. Well, I can, but, you know, other people, ordinary people can't. No.
Queen Scout.
Yeah, exactly. I've got all the badges, mate.
Not
yeah,
apart
from the moonwalk. Yeah, which in 1964, when I became a Queen Scout, wasn't a thing. Yeah.
Excellent.
But people shy away from that, and that's sad because experience and a sounding board and somebody to ask is a great thing to have in any business.
It is. So I was having a chat this morning. Not only was I at Rift, but I was also meeting Stefano, MD of Magnates, who, as you know, Fine Foods coming into Ashford soon, which is, you know, great, and they've got some expansion plans. But, you know, it's a relatively small to medium-sized business. He's been working with non-exec type roles for quite a while. And I said, oh, tell me it in a nutshell. And he made me laugh. So he said, summing it up, he said, it's not expensive and it's a service you can literally move as and when you want to. So you could be employed, but even if you're employed, you're probably on a contract that has got no notice on it because it's appropriate to change as and when. It's no commitment.
And are you trying to tell me you're a zero-hour contract worker? Fair enough.
No, you're paid for what you do, but what I'm saying is it's not a long-term commitment.
Sure.
And that's great because it keeps everyone on their toes. And you can work in a consultant or a freelance perspective. It doesn't have to be X amount per year or X amount per day. So I think, you know, if you look at it like that way, what he said was actually in the early days for him, the biggest hurdle was actually understanding what value. I think he talked about actually having a grant from the council and thinking, well, here's some money and here's some people. And that's not what I want. What do I need? So he did that piece that I think, you know, everyone should do, which is sit down and say, what is it I'm trying to do that's different from the everyday? What are my challenges? Where do I want to be? And I think, you know, what we do is that sounding board. I know Bradley at Rift is, you know, he says it's a sounding board. And I think, you know, are you sure I'm still providing value for you? You know, so it's a very, very straightforward, you know, conversation. And he also, you know, it's a sounding board. Sometimes, you know, I'll put something in front of you and actually you've got a question or you haven't got a challenge and actually it's okay. But I know then it's passed another test, it's passed an outside test.
It's interesting, though, isn't it? Because there's this kind of dichotomy between understanding the ins and outs of a business or an industry and being an outsider to it. And one of the interesting things as an entrepreneur, most of the businesses that I've got involved in, I knew nothing about what I was doing. And because I wasn't side-blinded by how the industry's worked for 1,000 years, you disrupt it.
Yeah.
And you come along and disrupt it. So that outside view is actually very powerful because it gives you a view from outside of your industry, outside of your business, of how it's perceived in the marketplace by customers, users, people that interact with your business. So if someone with a general overview of, and business knowledge, but an outsider's view can be very useful and very powerful.
Well, we were talking about it earlier, weren't we, Kathy? And it's this bit that people don't know where to go. Mm. The World and his wife will look after a startup.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we've talked about this before, haven't we,
absolutely,
on the radio? But you get to a stage where you are successful to some extent, and now you need that help. And who do you contact? Where do you go? Mm. And I think this is where the NED role, you know, you may go to your accountant, you may go to various people, but we don't want you with the man in the pub.
Yeah.
And that's the bit that's frightening in that I think a lot of the NED role is misunderstood in as much as it can be any size business. If you need that help, you know, you should go and get it.
Absolutely. It's like so many things, isn't it? You know, we've talked about this with young startup businesses, how they don't do things like take insurance and stuff like that because it costs too much money. Yeah, and you know, I'll get round to that at some point. Or they don't do articles of association, or they don't do a shareholders agreement when they start a business because it all costs money and it's all lawyers and it's all da da da. But if you don't do it then, you can't take out insurance after your house has burnt down. It just doesn't work. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they're false economies. And employing someone to help you on a short-term basis to figure your way through something is a very valuable thing to do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's so many people look at it as a cost, and it's actually an investment rather than a cost.
Kathy, what are you seeing at the minute as a trend? So you've got eyes in lots of pies, if you want to call it that way. What are you seeing at the minute? You're going, oh my gosh, each company is doing that. Either whether it's a negative or positive, it doesn't, because whatever it is, it's still a way of moving the business forward. What are you seeing at the minute?
In a way, I suppose nearly everybody that I'm working with is trying to grow or scale in some way. So I'm not sure it's going to give you an economic trend or anything, but I think the key thing invariably is we're working on something, we're moving it forward. Are we moving it forward as fast as we'd like to? And invariably that means that actually, much as you may have a wonderful team, there's a missing link or a piece of extra resource you could do with. And then again, a little bit like the sort of non-exec, or as Nettie put it, that sort of help that would be invaluable to you when you start your business, it's saying, well, hold on, I don't have to commit to something large. I don't have to commit to a 3-month recruitment process. I don't have to do all these things. We will ask around and find, somebody to help. So, people who work in, more and more people, aren't they, these days work for themselves. And, people will have space to do a 3-day project in the next month or one day a week or whatever it may take. And it's bolt in, bolt out, a little bit like the work that I do. So it's ensuring that you have enough resource to be able to solve your problem without it's either taking a long time for it to happen or causing you to have a long-term commitment.
Are you slowing people down in scalability? So that's what everybody wants to go fast and we want to scale. And actually, that's usually the death of a business, isn't it? Because of the speed. Are you adding a bit of a better tempo for them?
Well, it's interesting because actually I don't like to slow anything down. But I think it is just that, I suppose maybe it's a security blanket that you'd get with someone like myself or Nettie in the respect that, okay, well, what about your cash flow? Okay, and what funding do we have? And where are your peaks and troughs? And they're all very simple questions, but people don't necessarily want to think about those, not necessarily used to forecasting forward, whereas that's our bread and butter. Is your cash balance the worst at the end of the month, or is it a few days later? And that's the sort of stuff, if you're expanding, can catch you out. So I wouldn't want to be slowing anything down, but it's just, I suppose, that reality check.
Cool. We could talk about this for a long time, but we're sadly approaching the end of the show. And I just want to make reference, because I played some cheesy tunage earlier in the show, so I wanted to try and pull those
things together. Yes,
well, when I was doing some research on Kathy, I found that she'd been involved. Are you still involved?
I am, yes.
Yeah, you'd been the chief executive of the Lees Cliff Lift?
No. Well, shall I just go?
Yeah, go on.
So basically, as we all know, the much-loved and iconic lift has been closed since 2017. So Health and Safety came in and said, and they're a great bunch, we've met with them and understood what they were trying to achieve, that you can't rely on a manual brake on something like that with people's lives at risk. So they closed the lift down, or the CIC at the time closed the lift down because they didn't have the funds to fix the braking system. So, I mean, steeped in heritage and engineering, and it's missed by those particularly who need it as a transport solution. So a board was set up a couple of years ago. I took over about a year ago as chair. And so that sort of sums it up. We completely volunteer board. So the lift needs £750,000 to just get it back up and running today.
Right.
So, it started with, it's an £80,000 brake solution. And, it goes from there. And there's no shoes and champagne in that one, I'm afraid. But when you start to look at it a bit deeper, we don't want to be the group of people that puts it back and running and then 5 years from now, it's got a problem.
Yeah.
So that financial viability, sustainability is the big thing. And I thought, yeah, great, this is not easy, but you go into it and it's just, amazing. But actually, it's a building on the side of a cliff.
Yep.
And it's got all the weather issues. So there isn't actually that much space. And when you start to look at disabled access in and out.
I mean, it's a Victorian construction, isn't it?
It's beautiful.
Yeah. It's stunning. Yeah.
It is so sad. Yeah. It is ridiculous that we are not injecting money into this heritage that is on the side of a cliff. It is beautiful.
So where we're at, we're working on a plan, which is nearly there. I can't wait to reveal it, to increase the footprint so that what we have is something that will hopefully be there for many generations to come and be self-funding going forward.
Fantastic.
We're on the route to what was called Heritage Lottery funding. And I can't get the acronym for the National Lottery. It's been rebranded Heritage Funding. So there's that as well as other fundraising.
Right.
To go ahead. And it's, you know, it's a long haul. We would all like it sooner. On my basis of never wanting to slow anything down, we would like to have it all sooner rather than later. But I think we want to do it properly.
And the honesty of it is, if you don't do it sooner, it will cost more.
Yeah.
Because it's just sitting there, rotting. That would be the fair.
Well, we've been really lucky in that Jenners have continued each winter to winterproof it for us.
Good.
So good shout out for Jenners.
We had Jenners in, yes.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, the Bunker Bank was on. Yeah. Cool. Look, we're kind of at the end of the show. I just want to read this because I've just got a tweet in from Fundraising Works. And they said, Vanilla Webb, great to hear two of our friends, Martin Reeves and Kathy Beer, on your great show this afternoon. They do such wonderful jobs. And that's from Liz and Scott at Fundraising Works.
Oh,
so, Kathy, thank you so much for that.
Thank
you for joining us. Is there any way that people can find out more about what you do? Do you have a website or a Facebook page or anything like that?
So for me, I think the easiest is LinkedIn. So Kathy with a C and Bear with an E.
Yeah.
And for Lee's Lift, I mean, please do go and have a look. And if there's anything that you could offer us in the way of either money, support, skills, resource, and we are at www.leeslift.co.uk.
There is actually a link to the Leescliff website on the Campuses Radio website, so if you want to check that out, just check the link. Kathy, thank you so much. Nettie, thank you for bringing us such an interesting...
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.